Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
To the Jets, Le'Veon Bell.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You thought the Steelers was a tough spot for you?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
There's a silver lining. You may have a new coach before the end of the season.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. Still to come. NBA Championship head coach Paul Westhead. 1988 World Series MVP Oral Hershiser. Host of America's Funniest Home Videos, Alfonso Rivera. 10-year NFL veteran Mark Sanchez. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and we just had an interesting finish to hour number one. Marshall Faulk joining us, Pro Football Hall of Famer, spitting truth as he always does. Le'Veon Bell, according to Adam Schefter, my colleague, for many years with Marshall at NFL Network and now at ESPN, saying that Le'Veon Bell has three choices in front of him. He's whittled it down to the Bills, who's Sean McDermott, confirmed that their interest in Le'Veon Bell
is
real.
Are you surprised that he confirmed that?
No. I mean, it's out there. If Le'Veon Bell comes, that means that, yeah, we were never shying away from the fact that we want you. One way to communicate to him, you need to come here, is like, we are proud of our pursuit of him. That's one. And two, what better way to light a fire underneath your two young running backs if you think you need to than by saying that? And then if Le'Veon Bell doesn't come in, you basically say to your fan base, we always try to improve ourselves at best we can, any way we can, and Devin Singletary, and get ready. And Zach Moss, if you can play – let's play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's entirely that doesn't surprise me. The Dolphins are interest to me would be interesting to Bell because he's got his place down there. He doesn't pay state taxes and he gets to face the Jets twice a year. And he can be plugged in and be part of a team that's ready to win now in certain ways. But nothing beats the Chiefs, obviously. And Marshall Faulk said that Le'Veon Bell needed to see the difference between his previous situation and the one that he just left is the fact that if you can play with a bona fide top-notch quarterback that the rest of the league is afraid of, as opposed to somebody else, go back into the warm embrace of having an MVP quarterback. So if that is in fact the case, and Marshall thinks the way that all players think, and many players who think the way that Marshall thinks, it would behoove them to do that because Marshall's one of the smartest guys we've ever met. So put it all together, he should be wearing Chiefs red by the end of the day. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear that. Plus, he followed Patrick Mahomes on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was the way we finished the hour, as well as my two three guys here, TJ Jefferson, social media grandmaster, Rich Eisen Show, Chris Brockman, and Mike Del Tufo across the way. Informed me that they think that I have one button too many unbuttoned.
I mean,
I don't understand. I'm wearing a sport coat. I'm dressed very, I think, smart casual, business casual today. Yeah, I think I look, I defy you put this ensemble up against anybody who does what I do for a living today. I think I win. I think I win.
I feel you. You got a lunch or something today?
Like, I don't. I mean, there's no lunch. What do you mean lunch? I go home. Are you kidding me? I got to. Are you out of your mind?
I don't
mouth?
Know if you're making lunch. A stop on the way home.
Yeah,
business,
he's going to Studio 54.
No, I'm going straight home.
Discotheque.
Discotheque.
There's three kids. There's three kids Roller with rink. Online learning. As a matter of fact, I'm taking this off the minute I walk in the door.
You're looking sharp today, Rich.
Thank you. You're putting swing thoughts in my head. I
could tell at the end of the hour we got to you a little
and
bit.
And I'm not buttoning this button. I'm not.
No. Let your freak flag fly,
thank
baby.
You.
You know what I mean?
We've got three guests in our final hour. By the way, this is a significant Auld Lang Syne Los Angeles program. Mark Sanchez, former USC quarterback, now the latest unmasked singer. Alfonso Ribeiro, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he used to hang in Bel Air?
He sure did.
Okay.
Yep.
Fresh Prince.
Oral Hershiser, part of the last Dodgers championship team in 1988. And the Dodgers broadcaster talking about the Dodgers. It felt like they got more than one win last night, but it only counted as one in the NLCS.
Right.
And now joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, the author of The Speed Game, My Fast Times in Basketball, is the former head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, predating Pat Riley, a man who won the 1980 championship here in Los Angeles 40 years ago, 40 years obviously prior to the latest of the Lakers. He is Paul Westhead. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing fine, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing better for talking to you. So the speed game, my fast times in basketball, obviously we do recall here in Los Angeles your time of winning your first championship here in your first year as an NBA head coach. What do you think of what we just saw by the Lakers in winning in 2020 in that bubble, Coach?
Yeah, well, I was watching like most of the fans here, hoping that they'd pull it off. I was really confident because they were the better team. And when you have two superstars in LeBron and Anthony Davis, you can lose a couple, but you're not going to lose the series. So I was happy for them, and I kind of expected it.
And what do you think of the state of basketball today, where we see a lot of teams basically shoot the three instead of the mid-range jumper, and somebody like yourself who is constantly about the transition game, which is why you're talking about the speed game. What do you make of the current state of basketball in the NBA?
Yeah, well, I always was a proponent of the quick shot. We wanted to get possession of the ball and shoot within 4 to 5 seconds. We really didn't care the range. We'd take a running, you know, driving slam dunk layup like Anthony Davis does on occasion, or we'd take the outside three. But there's much more outside shooting today than there was 40 years ago. The three-point range is like fertile ground now. Everyone has to shoot them. Even centers have to come out and shoot threes.
So who's the best transition basketball player you think that you ever saw, if not coached? Who's that?
Yeah, that's a hard one. You know, it's fine. It's interesting. I won a championship with the L.A. Lakers with Magic and Kareem, and we were just an okay running team. We were good but not great. When I was at Loyola Marymount University, you know, we were better at the running game with players like Hank Gathers and Bo Kimble. And then when I coached the women in the WNBA, we were very good with Diana Taurasi and a little point guard named Kelly Miller who got the Diana the ball on the break. So it kind of goes in phases. And to have a good individual on a fast break team isn't enough. You need five-plus people to buy into it, or otherwise you're going to get fired like I did a number of times.
Paul Westhead joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. And in terms of being let go from your position, the conversation, I mean, it still lingers here today, Paul, as you know, about your tenure here with the Lakers and Jerry Buss showing you the door after you just a few games into a season after you got bounced by Moses Malone and a couple years after you won it all with Magic Johnson. What were the forces, do you think, behind your firing? Do you talk about this in your book?
Yeah, I talk about it. You know, I talk about the moment. There were some things that led up to the firing. We had played the night before in Salt Lake City and won a game right at the end on a missed shot by Utah Jazz. And I was not happy with the attention that Magic Johnson had given me and our team in that last moment. So I talked to him about it personally. Unfortunately, a reporter saw me in another room talking to Magic and asked Magic, and Magic said, "Well, I don't know if I can play here." So he was not happy with my disapproval. And the next day, you know, I was fired by Jerry Buss. But, you know, in perspective, I think it was a little bit of after this, therefore because of this. I think the Magic event was part of three or four or five things that I think Mr. Buss was not happy with. So he finally said, "We're going to have to let you go."
So, and then obviously they turned to one of your assistants. What did you see in Pat Riley when you hired him, Paul?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I got the job, you know, kind of early in the season. I was by myself for a couple of weeks. kind of interesting. We played maybe 8 or 10 games without an assistant coach. Now in the NBA, they have a dozen assistant coaches.
Right.
The fellow who I asked to kind of help me chart some things was Don Ford, who was on the team and didn't play much. So I after about 3 or 4 games, Ford said, you know, I don't really like to do this. You're going to have to get somebody else. So then I brought in Pat Riley. I knew him. I had met him. He traveled with us. He was the color man for Chick Hearn. And I thought he would be, you know, very helpful to me, and he was. So it was a timely pick on my part, and Pat certainly was true to form.
So, I mean, it's kind of amazing that, again, the Lakers, 40 years later, after your championship, just won another now with LeBron James, and the guy whose team, the opponent that they beat, has been put together by Pat Riley. It's amazing how life works sometimes, Paul, right?
Yeah, I mean, that cycle went full for Pat, you know, from L.A. to the Knicks and then eventually to Miami. So he's doing all the good things as a president that he did with the Laker franchise. But, you know, what rings true is that if you're going to win, like we just saw the Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis, you must have two very exceptional players in the superstar category. And of course, I did with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Magic Johnson. So you have to have that ingredient to then talk about, well, you won and how'd you do it? Well, you didn't do it without your two stars.
So I guess there were super teams well before super teams, in a way. It just wasn't done by free agency, pretty much, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if you recall, in 1980, Magic came in as a rookie. So he kind of, the Lakers were a good team, you know, simmering. I mean, Kareem had been there and, you know, he had performed well. But they just needed one more player to get you over the top. And that's exactly what Magic brought to the team. It's kind of interesting. Magic Johnson goes down as the great assist passing guard, you know, who had eyes behind his back because he was so clever. When he played for our team in his first year, I would really categorize him as a power forward. He was getting to the rim. He was rebounding like a big man. And I think he was doing it to show his teammates that, you know, I want to work hard for you fellas, so accept me. And then as his career went on, then he took over.
No doubt. Author of The Speed Game, My Fast Times in Basketball, Paul Westhead, here on The Rich Eisen Show. What are your recollections that you can share with us of the day that Hank Gathers passed away, Coach?
Yeah, Rich, that's a hard one. You know, it's 30 years now since that moment. And, you know, it's like 3 seconds ago for me. You know, we're at Gerson Arena in a playoff game to get into the NCAA, and Hank makes a classic slam dunk on our fast break, which, you know, like I alluded to, Anthony Davis does now. Turned around to get back on defense, and just around half court, just collapsed and fell, and never to recover. And I mean, it's a moment frozen in time. The death of Hank was just more than hard to take. It was devastating. And to the tribute of the players, they eventually wanted to play in the NCAA tournament kind of in honor of Hank Gathers, and they performed very well trying to honor him.
No doubt. I remember they bounced my alma mater, and it felt, as a Michigan fan watching that game, it felt like a fait accompli, quite frankly. It felt like, you know, certainly the way that Kimball shooting free throws like Hank and in his honor, I'll never forget that. Did you know Bo was going to start doing that when he started?
Yeah, he had said to us that he was going to The moment he got to the free throw line in any playoff game, and the first one was against New Mexico State, mm-hmm. and then Michigan,
yep.
He was going to shoot his first two free throws left-handed in honor of Hank, who the background on this is Hank, the year before, led the country in scoring and rebounding.
He sure did.
Not an easy feat. But he never was a very good free throw shooter. So he said to me in the springtime, he said, I'm going to work this summer on shooting left-handed free throws. And I guess if I was a more stern, disciplined coach, I would have said, no, I cannot do that. I said, yeah, whatever you want to do.
Right.
So he comes back and he's shooting it. True to form, he shot left-handed the entire season until the final game against Portland. And Bo, picking that up to honor Hank, you know, said, well, I'll shoot my first two left-handed. And he made every one he shot left-handed.
He sure did.
It's kind of an interesting tribute to
Hank. Well, it was so remarkable, Coach. It was so remarkable. I do feel like it was just yesterday, and the whole country was feeling for you, for Hank Gather's family. Who did you draw upon? What did you draw upon for the kids at the time?
Here's what happened to us. I mean, me personally, I drew on my wife Cassie and my four children, and they kind of surrounded me with their love and affection, which always helps to make it personal. But the players and myself, we fed off each other, you know. I kept saying to them, do not do this, you know, for Hank, hoping that he's going to somehow miraculously have you play better. And they understood that. They said, no, we want to play so that we can, for 2 hours a day in practice or in games, put our loss of Hank aside. We just want to just do something that we can forget for a moment or an hour. And in their forgetting, the irony is that they didn't worry about winning or losing. So they just started playing basketball kind of for fun. So it was fun to be around them for those 2 hours when we would practice or have games. And when it ended, then we had to get back to the real world of breathing for Hank again.
And I know PJ Carlissimo is somebody who's near and dear to your heart. You know, you've been on his staff, and he and you have known each other for a very long time. Did beating Michigan have a special meaning for you in bouncing them after they won their championship?
Yeah.
Paul, let's be honest here.
It's funny. I saw the game that PJ lost at the buzzer. I can still see it. Ramil Robinson gets fouled, and he makes a free throw and wins the game. And PJ, true to form, was very gracious and said, well, it was the right call. It was John Clarkerty who made that call. So a year later,
yes,
we meet Michigan, and I walk out to the start of the game, and who is the official in the game?
No.
John Clarkerty.
No way. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And of course, it wasn't a buzzer beater.
No, it did not come down to free throws that day, Paul. I can recall that. I don't even know if it was a 19-possession game by the end, quite frankly.
I don't need to rub it in on you, but the final score was 149-116.
It wasn't even close. And trust me, Michigan Wolverine fans were the only people not rooting for you that day on the planet. You know, it was quite a day, and it was quite a victory for you, and you earned it. You got it. And congrats on your book, The Speed Game, My Fast Times in Basketball. Let's keep chatting. I really enjoyed this chat.
Thank you, Richard. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. That's Paul Westhead, the head coach, champion head coach of the NBA and WNBA, and his book, where all books are available right now, Paul Westhead, The Speed Game, My Fast Times in Basketball. Yeah, Michigan Wolverine fans were the only ones rooting for Michigan that day. And, you know, it was Michigan had made it back again, and Steve Fisher was there, and this was right before the Fab Five was coming. None of the Fab Five were there yet.
No.
And I don't, you know, we all at Michigan thought this team is not as good as the year before. Glenn Rice wasn't on it. Glenn Rice had moved on, and we didn't think that this was going to be the year, but we didn't think the year before was going to be the year either, and we thought, okay, who do we got in the second round? Oh, God.
We were a good team, too.
What Seton Hall was. Yeah, I know, yeah. I know.
It was a good team.
I know, and it was
a
foul.
That was a great game. I was at. It was great.
It was in Seattle.
Yeah, the Kingdom. Thank God they knocked that building down.
Oh, please. For you.
For me.
And then that was a spot for the House of Yankee Horrors.
That's true.
Don Mattingly's last game as a Yankee, and the last game in Major League Baseball was in that building.
Yeah.
The old Kingdom. Oh. I hated that place.
Oh, so did I. So did I, Rich. We agree on that.
Well, it was great for one night in basketball for me. Oof. I remember I drew the short straw.
To go.
No.
Oh.
No. I drew the short straw to close the newspaper that night in the Michigan Daily. I had to work.
Oof.
I had to work that night. I drew the short straw. Nobody wanted to be the one to shut. Because, you know, this is back in the day where there was print type. Like, they literally had a printing press in the basement of the Michigan Daily, the greatest student newspaper around. And I was an editor, an associate editor of the sports page. I was a columnist as well. As you know, I wrote my column, Get Rich Quick. And and so we all drew straws. Literally, it was straws. Like, grab it out of the hand.
And whoever drew wanted to go out and watch the game.
Nobody wanted to work. Everyone wanted to get hammered and celebrate.
Yeah, exactly.
If we won.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we won. But I drew the short straw. I had to close the paper, and I don't know if this is a fake memory or not. I could text him. I think I had to wait for Adam Schefter's game column to come in. I think he was there.
He was there?
I think he covered the basketball team that year, yes.
Wow, that's cool.
You know, and I think I had to wait for his copy to come in, and we closed the paper, and I remember getting to the paper. I watched the game in my fraternity house, and I remember it was like going against salmon swimming upstream, because where the student newspaper was located was far away from, was the opposite end of the center of campus. So I had to go through everybody streaming into the town.
Oh.
And, you know, kind of like getting through everybody, watching them celebrate. And I thought to myself, I hope I'm not late, because I'm a professional, is basically the moral of this story.
That's exactly it, Rich.
Okay. Long before the man you see before me, apparently with one button, too many unbuttoned. Yeah, I'm still thinking about it, but I'm not going to button this button.
Rich Travolta.
Long Eisen. Before all of that, Danny Terrio Eisen. Thank you.
Good job.
A little dance fever
little
for
dance
you.
Fever. Danny Terrio, man.
Can you dig
dance
it?
Fever for
I
you?
I knew that you could.
I knew that you could.
Did you have a pop that night while you were working?
Yeah. I had a pop before.
Oh.
I was in my fraternity house. No, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm not going to. I might have sobered up on the way to work. But I still answered the call.
Were you wearing a button-down shirt that night?
I was
night,
definitely
or?
Not.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure
I had not met Susie
button.
Schuster yet.
Just his ratty t-shirt.
No, the man you see before me is turd polished.
By the love of a good woman.
That's damn straight. All right, we'll take a break here. Come back, Chris Brockman's news update right here on the Rich Eisen Show. It was a lot of fun with Paul Westhead.
It was.
Right there.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Now, more than ever, it's important to show support for your team and your community. Visa and the National Football League know that local businesses help your community move the ball down the field. Small businesses everywhere are overcoming challenges in these new times thanks to teammates like you and Visa. Because when everyone pitches in, everyone benefits. Being loyal to local businesses ignites growth and supports all of us and our communities. Because they know that where you shop matters, Visa urges you to support local retailers who are making shopping safe and reliable. And remember, tap to pay with contactless Visa wherever you see the contactless symbol to help support your community. Visa, official partner of the NFL. All right. I just got an email that my son's debate league has just been accepted to something called the Golden West Debate League.
Nice. Sweet.
This is great.
Did you do debate team?
No.
Growing up, me neither.
I did public speaking.
But, you know, this is like
that would have been fun.
This is like, I don't want to equate my son to Michael Thomas. But
okay.
I don't want to, but this is kind of like take those debate skills and use them on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Okay? Don't take those skills and fire at your own teammates.
Yeah, right.
This is good news. Take those skills and over there. That way, yeah. not this way, that way. But my son is the Michael Thomas of debaters.
Is he punching people or?
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio networks. Yeah. So, can I handle the Le'Veon Bell news with you? Or do you have it over there?
Sure.
Because I just got emails. Andy Reid has spoken. Do you know that?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Again, I have the benefit of having NFL Network top-notch news desk sending out. Andy Reid has spoken on the Le'Veon Bell trade rumors. He spoke on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I think so. I think that's where he spoke. At any rate, didn't confirm or deny Chiefs' interest in Le'Veon Bell. Said Brett Veach handles all of that. Quote, I tell him that if something happens, let me know.
Okay.
In terms of how rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been doing this season, he is, quote unquote, very happy.
I imagine he would be.
He hasn't gotten in the end zone very much, though. Doesn't matter when everybody else is getting in the end zone.
Yeah.
So there's that. My colleagues at NFL Network, Mike Garofalo and Tom Pelissero, the law firm of Garofalo and Pelissero, are on this story. Mike just said on NFL Now, on my friends and colleagues at NFL Network, quote, I am told that there was a belief that this thing was moving toward being a done deal with the Chiefs as of last night.
Wow.
Whoa.
But we're not there right now. Le'Veon Bell is taking his time to go over several options, which also include the Miami Dolphins. I am told strongly, do not discount the Dolphins. What did I tell you in hour one? I think he's still going to go to the Chiefs, though.
Yeah.
Pelissero, quote, I could tell you the Chiefs have been looking for another back for a while, says that they were interested in Adrian Peterson.
Whoa.
They were showing interest in him before Peterson signed with Detroit. They certainly think there's a balance and ability to use multiple running backs. Well, we saw that last year, didn't we?
Yeah, for sure.
Don't forget, Damian Williams, who could have won the MVP last year in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. He opted out.
He did.
Look out, AFC.
And West. So that's the latest. He's going to be – you don't follow Patrick Mahomes.
No.
And don't sign. Right?
No. You go.
Just like Giannis unfollowed all of his teammates, he's getting traded this offseason. Look to the socials.
But unlike Giannis, Le'Veon might go to Miami.
I see what you did there.
Yep. Why would you break up – Tyler
because
Hero.
Rich can is hit Giannis
Antetokounmpo. That's why. Good job for come on, Rich.
Back to back MVP.
It? Why would you do it?
He is 7'13" tall. He's 25 years old. He's a big man with guard skills, as my boy Keith Perry used to say back at Point Park. I mean, why wouldn't you take Giannis?
Because you've got Tyler Hero, and you've got Dragic, and you got Bam Adebayo, and you've seen how the Pistons and the Raptors have won championships with a situation like the one that they're growing around Jimmy Butler. That's why.
Rich, as evidenced by the call yesterday from O'Shea, he didn't win.
Yeah.
So you do what it takes to win.
He didn't win because and the reason why I didn't bring this up is because O'Shea Jackson Jr. was on a roll. He was like butter.
He was
okay, he was on a roll. and we were out of time. We were up against, if you will, the hard out, as they say in the business. But I did want to have, I had one last dart to just.
Blow dart.
Okay. Just one last.
Hit him with a.
Okay. I had one last. And I just decided not to, to go in the direction of, well, you know, if Dragic was healthy and Adebayo was healthy and the way that they were playing, and it was a tight game in game one before everybody started dropping like flies, you know, like. So there's that.
Yeah, I don't think.
And the coach is going nowhere. Coach is going nowhere. Do you think Coach Bud in Milwaukee is?
I mean, look, with all due respect to Coach Bud, if you have the chance to play for Spo or
That is now, right now. Let's get into it here. Fine. That is now the story of the NBA. I know Woj bomb was earlier is that Daryl Morey's not with the Rockets anymore, and I know that Jeff Van Gundy's apparently talking to the Rockets, and the Clippers need to hire a coach, and this is what's going on as we lead to the NBA draft at some point in the next few weeks, and all of that stuff is what is on the current radar screen right now for a lot of people. But the story is he going to take the Supermax or not?
Yeah.
The minute he says no to the Supermax, the minute he says no to the Milwaukee, he could follow and unfollow, defollow, whatever you want, as many of his teammates as he wants, and he could sit there and send a tweet or a message to the people of Milwaukee how much he loves them, and he'll see them next season. Well, he's contractually obligated to see them next season. He will be out next season if he tells them right now, I do not wish to take the, what, 50 to 70 extra million dollars that I can get from you but can't get anywhere else. I've told you that. I've told you guys that if ever you have an opportunity to maybe go on somebody else's show and do what you do here, I would say to you, how dare you? And then secondly, I would say to you, okay, let's talk about what you need here in order to stay. And if I was the only person in this business who could offer you an absurd amount of money more than what you would be making somewhere else, and you say, I want to go somewhere else, I would say to you, get the hell out of here. And try and acquire from whichever show you're going to enough to satisfy me, if this is the way it worked in our business, enough, if you will, pieces of their operation to acquire in exchange for your services to satisfy me. I would do that on the spot. On the spot. So
it's an absurd amount of money. It's like $250 million.
Not more than what he can make somewhere else. It's about what?
Well, total, $250
right,
total.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but it's still about anywhere between $50 to $60 million more, depending on what the cap's going to look like, than he could make anywhere else.
He gets an extra year.
If he is signed and traded to somewhere else, he cannot make that money somewhere else. That's why there's the Supermax. That's why Brian Windhorst of ESPN, one of the many who our friend O'Shea went at when he called into our show, when Windhorst said that if Giannis doesn't accept the Supermax from Milwaukee, they should just flat out do away with that option in the collective bargaining agreement moving forward, because it's exactly in the collective bargaining agreement for exactly this reason that a market the size of Milwaukee could keep somebody of Giannis's stature as opposed to him going to the Rolls Royces of Golden State or South Florida. That's all right now happening right here. And if I'm Miami, and I just saw what just happened, again, I know you think I'm crazy.
I laugh every time you say this.
I know you think I'm crazy. But if it's going to cost me like Dragic and Tyler Hero, it's going to the starting price is Tyler Hero, right?
He has to be included.
Well, that's the first words out of Milwaukee's mouth. Has to be Tyler Hero, right?
Well, they asked for Butler and get
Tyler and Bam. That's it. You got to get Bam back if you're losing to
Tyler, Bam, probably a few draft picks, and that's that.
Wow. I mean, so you got Butler and Duncan Robinson and Jay Crowder and Giannis. I get Butler's an upgrade, but everybody else, how, if you're Giannis, does that make it any different than Milwaukee, other than the fact that your grocery shopper's Pat Riley and your coach is Eric Spoelstra? No, I know you're living in South Florida.
That's good enough.
Yeah.
And you're okay. I'm going to die on this hill. I probably will. I probably will.
Well, he'll probably end up staying in Milwaukee, yeah, so it's all moot anyway.
No, I don't know.
It's fun to think about. Or you go to Golden State.
No, that's now. If I'm Golden State, I do reconfigure. Although Clay's not going anywhere, and nor is Draymond. Right. I mean, let's flip the script right here, because if you're Milwaukee, the words, first round, second overall pick, and Andrew Wiggins are the starters, right? That's for starters,
and it's
right?
It's probably going to be one of those other guys, too.
Who's one of the other guys?
Clay or Draymond.
Well, you can then pound sand. Get out of here.
Steph.
Get out of here.
Giannis, and then just throw out whoever else. Let's rock.
You know who's on tomorrow? Richard Jefferson, the guy who called Giannis a Pippin. I can't wait to have this conversation with him, because you don't reconfigure your teams like this for a Pippin, right?
No.
Giannis is not a Pippin, man. Like, that's insane.
Well, first of all, let's stop looking at being called a Pippin as being a bad thing.
No, he's a top 50 player of all time.
Of all time.
I understand.
Pippin's one of the greatest ever.
I know, but Richard is, of course, just meaning, like, the second guy, the Batman.
Yeah.
Or the Robin.
Yeah. The Robin.
844-204-RICH number. We'll take a break and then we'll go to your news update, Christopher. That's how we're rolling here on this show. Oral Hershiser, Alfonso Ribeiro, and Mark Sanchez, man. Unmasked last night. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show in a second. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck powder spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck anti-chafe stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck. You want to check on our poll questions before our radio audience returns to make us one big happy multimedia family?
So I just threw it up not that long ago.
Well, you put two up, and then one of them had to come down because you spelled Funkhauser the N in Funkhauser with a C.
I had a typo in the Funkhauser.
I got some texts from people. Hey,
not sure if you knew.
Good. It was only up like 30 seconds, so good on those people for texting you.
Okay.
Who's the best offshoot Curb Your Enthusiasm character?
Yes.
I went with Leon, Richard Lewis, Funkhauser, and Susie. Jeff Green's wife. She's
amazing.
She is something else.
I hate Susie.
Yes, I think you're supposed to. Leon leads the way, 44%. Funkhauser, 27%.
Funkhauser. May he rest in peace.
And I didn't put up the movie one yet. I'll do it right now.
Okay, very good. So we are back here on the Mightier 1090 and the rest of our terrestrial radio network. Good to speak with you again. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Oral Hershiser, Dodger great, will be joining us. You know, I looked up a few facts about Oral.
Okay.
In preparation. And his description on his Wikipedia page. Now, I say this gingerly because for a couple of years, my description on my Wikipedia page the Wikipedia page about me said my nickname was White Mamba. I don't know who put that there. Okay? You remember that?
I do.
It was there for like a couple of years.
Black Rich Eisen.
Thank you, Shaq.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that came from. But according to his Wikipedia, okay, Oral Hershiser, let's call it back up again. It describes Oral Hershiser as a baseball player, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Oral Leonard Hershiser IV is an American former baseball pitcher who played 18 seasons in Major League Baseball from 1983 to 2000. He later became a broadcast color analyst for the Dodgers. We know that. Last one is he is also a professional poker player.
Woof. Wait.
Did we know this about Oral Hershiser?
Definitely not.
Nope.
Okay. I'm just Don, I'm just repeating what's on the Wikipedia page, and I intend to bring this up with him.
Well, I think you should.
I intend to bring this up with him.
How do you get to the professional level of poker, the World Series of Poker?
No, you
well,
just,
you just keep playing.
Yeah, it's your job.
When do you become...
One day, as you know, I've said it before, I will say it again. When I am no longer in some way, shape, or form, and I hope it's a very long day from today.
Sure.
When I am no longer, if you will, an NFL employee.
Uh-oh.
Or, as you know, there's now a team in Las Vegas, Nevada. The Pro Bowl's coming to Las Vegas, Nevada. Mm-hmm. The draft is going to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Mo Green's getting a signpost.
Mo's Green will one day hopefully get one.
Signpost.
If it's possible for me to do this, I will be gladly staked, because this is I'm dead money walking, in the World Series of Poker.
Yeah.
Well, I'm watching
where Richard Seymour finished. He almost made the final table 1 year.
Richard Seymour made it very, very far last year.
And I do remember a couple of moments from the Rich Eisen show made it on the broadcast, because we talked about his fanny pack or whatever, right? We had Richard on.
Yeah.
And I also mentioned I would not want people on my rail screaming and yelling because, you know, I just won a big hand with... You know, I caught a queen on the turn. You know what I mean? I just wouldn't want that.
Remember Richard Seymour finished 131st.
That's how you become a professional poker player.
That's pretty far.
That's out of 12,000, right? Isn't that 12,000?
I was out of a lot last year, yeah.
Now it's now five-figure field.
Out of 8,500.
8,500.
Wow, that's
it's going to get up there to five-figure. All right, at some point I'll ask Oral if this is in fact true or not. So so I guess, if you to use the phrase, the flop for the Dodgers came out brick, top pair in the first three games of this LCS to lead to the turn, potentially. Do you like that one?
I like that one.
Because that win yesterday leads to Kershaw going tonight against Bryce with an S. Wilson.
All right, cool.
Career start number 8 for him. Tonight is career start number 28 for Clayton Kershaw in the postseason.
Wilson on the island with Tom Hanks?
That's it, right. Okay, Chris Brockman, you have a news update over there?
Yeah, let's do
it. Go for it, Chris. Whoa, look out. Okay, go for it. Chris Brock, okay. News update.
Hey, let's start with Dak Prescott. We all know what happened to him. He had surgery earlier this week on his ankle. Posted this on his Instagram today. Really cool. Thanking everyone for the well wishes.
Everyone know that I'm doing well.
It's a double thing.
No, we're having some technical difficulty right now. No problem.
Okay, we'll get to Dak in a minute.
What else you got over there, Christopher?
This morning, the Falcons had an assistant coach pop for COVID after a player earlier in the week, and they closed down the facility as a precaution. Mm. Working remotely, barring any setbacks, they could be back tomorrow. Doesn't look like the game against the Vikings is off for now, so just something to keep an eye on.
And again, what the NFL, the rest just of the so week. Everyone's aware, because again, we don't know. I mean, we hear about what protocols are in place for college football. It doesn't receive, as you know, I've kind of been grinding at this axe for a couple of days this week, that the attention to detail by observers and fans about protocol and what it is detail for college is not nearly as intense as it is with the NFL.
Right.
What the NFL has, they have video of inside and outside the facility. They have contact tracers that everyone must wear when they are in the facility. They know how many people have come into close contact with what the CDC describes as close contact. They know who it is, where it was, when it was. You check the tape. Were they both masked up? They should be if you're indoors.
Yep.
Outdoors, were they both masked up? They're able to determine what the close contacts are and with whom and for how long and how dangerous that might be in terms of what we know about the communicability of this disease. So the NFL can make these decisions about, we're sticking with it. Let's see what another day looks like. Let's keep this game on. Let's push it to Monday because we know this is coming in. That was just coming in terms of what we have retested and video. they're able to do that. So there's that.
Yeah, so the report this morning from Adam Schefter was that it was four members of the Falcons, but it is in fact only one.
Just one, because they've retested and stuff?
One new, and it's an assistant coach, so no players.
Okay, that's good news right there. That's good news.
Okay, so let's hear from Dak Prescott. He posted this on his Instagram this morning, thanking everyone for their well wishes.
Great.
What's up, everyone? Just want everyone to know that I'm doing well, and I can't thank you enough for all your love, your support, your prayers. Over the last few days, they've been more than overwhelming, from teammates to family to friends, to fans I don't know, to former and current players around the league and players around all sports. I just wanted to say thank you. They're definitely appreciated and received well. So just knowing that I have that much love and support out there makes a huge difference. In great spirits, headed to see the doctor, headed to see my leg for the first time post-surgery. So just ready to start this road to comeback. I know this little adversity is just going to be another chapter in the book. I'm excited to move forward and write it. Just once again, can't thank you all enough for your love and your support through it all. But I'm in great spirits. I'm going to stay that way. I'm looking forward to this football season, seeing the game in a different perspective, and supporting my teammates and those around the league that need it. And just excited for God's purpose and God's plan. I know it's bigger than anything that I see or that could have imagined, but I'm trusting him. My faith is doubled down more than ever, and I'm thankful that he's my savior and he guides me in life. So I know through him, all this will be possible and all this will be a great comeback and a great story. So once again, thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. And ready to get this journey of the comeback started. So God bless you all. Thank you.
Well, if you're like me, you thought two things when you watched that video. Number one is just how awesome he is and why he is so loved and beloved by everybody. He's just a good dude.
Yeah, right.
He really is. And wish him the best of luck. And then number two is, can you wear a seatbelt, Dak, when you're shooting this video, please? Buckle up.
He could have had a lap belt on.
I could have had a lap belt on.
I want to give Dak the benefit of the doubt.
I get it. He could be in the second row.
He could be in the back of the SUV.
I'm a second row seatbelt guy.
Me too.
I'm a second row seatbelt. I'm an any row seatbelt guy.
I'm an always seatbelt all the time.
Yes.
I take my chances in the third row.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Why not?
Okay.
That's freewheeling, man. But it's good to see Dak out there.
It's good to see Dak.
That's why we played all 91 seconds of that thing. I'm just...
He looks like he's in good spirits.
That's great.
Considering.
Excellent.
A couple other COVID thing today. The Browns sent Odell Beckham home with an illness. Offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt
said... So when you
said
that's a COVID thing, they're concerned about it?
With everything going on, Alex Van Pelt said, he's the OC, they were being extra cautious in sending Odell home.
Okay.
Hoping that it's not that and he feels better soon, obviously.
And again, for something like
being
that...
Being precautionary.
There's probably something, again... every facility has point of care testing. Usually that's what's busted out when you're in intense protocol. Otherwise, you just get the PCR test, which is the old dreaded swab situation up the nose. And it's because it's the most sensitive test. And the NFL are spending a lot of money on testing this year. And they decided to do it every day. And now game day as well. They probably point of care testing him, and another big name that we're hoping just not feeling well. It's not COVID-19. What else, Christopher?
Yeah, so COVID-19, NFL news, Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore back to Patriots
off
practice.
The list,
so they're off the list and back to practice. And a big name did test positive yesterday in the college football world. Alabama head coach Nick Saban tested positive and did post a video saying this about taking it extremely seriously.
I personally think I did a really good job of trying to manage my personal space, and that would be what I've informed our players to try to do, because you have to respect this disease and the spread of this disease. So I guess my message would be, adhere to protocol of what people are informing us to do. Wash your hands, wear a mask, social distance. All those things I think are important. I always tell our players, just assume that everyone that you come in contact with might be infected. and you might be infected and not know it and actually, you know, bring harm to them.
Ooh, it's an excellent message from Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm. Nothing about this weekend's Alabama-Georgia game being postponed.
I mean, he's a coach. How many close contacts have they had? And I'm assuming, I have to assume this, and this is being straight up. I'm not insinuating anything at all. But if there is any college football program that mimics the NFL protocol and has the funds to pull it off, it's got to be Alabama, right? In terms of facilities, in terms of money, and in terms of wherewithal, and in terms of the SEC, and in terms of, you know, program, in terms of name recognition, in terms of Nick Saban being as buttoned up as anybody is in terms of detail. You got to figure Alabama must know right off the top of their head and fingertips who's been in contact with the coach, who needs to be tested, retested, quarantined, and whatnot. You have to assume that.
Yeah, if Saban isn't quarantined, he's not going to be allowed to coach at all.
Of course, man. It's the highest paid employee in the state of Alabama, right? So how old is Nick Saban? I mean, he's got to be in his early 60s, right? If he and Belichick are contemporaries, he's 68 years old. I mean, this is serious business. Get well, coach. The athletic director has it too. Oh, what a time we are living in, man. What a time we are living in.
Couple other injury notes real quick. No practice today for Dalvin Cook. Melvin Gordon, though, did return to practice after not going yesterday, so it doesn't look like he will be suspended at all.
I don't know, but the team could discipline him. I mean, that's entirely possible.
Maybe. Him practicing today, though, is a good sign that he's going to play this weekend. No Sterling Shepard, unlikely to play against Washington with a toe injury. And A.J. Green, you saw that weird clip of him kind of not going after the ball in the interception of Joe Burrow, mouthing on the sideline. It looks like he was saying, just trade me. Kind of weird, but he said he's going to push through his most recent hamstring injury. So keep an eye on AJ.
Just trade me.
You didn't see that clip?
No.
There was a clip of him on the sideline talking to a teammate, and it looked like he mouthed, just trade me. I don't know if he's unhappy about how he's being used in this offense, but not the A.J. Green we've been accustomed to seeing in recent years.
No. He's available on every waiver wire of every fantasy league that I'm in. Oof. I never would have thought I would say that. All, you know, the two that I'm in and then the two that I'm monitoring for my kids and with my kids, A.J. Green is available.
That is shocking. You're not right.
A.J. Green's available. Julio Jones is banged up.
And also maybe on the trade block.
That deadline's in about 2 weeks' time.
Election day. 19 days.
You know exactly. Yeah, I know. We know exactly how long it is.
We know exactly when it is.
Register to trade, general managers. Register to trade.
Also, quick UFC news. Conor McGregor said he has accepted the January 23rd bout against Dustin Poirier and wants it to be held at Cowboys Stadium in Dallas.
He's been talking about that for a long time, right?
He has. He wanted the fight to take place in 2020. Dana White said he came back with it has to be January 23rd, and that's when it's going
to
be.
Where is our friend Israel Adesanya with his hope to have a fight in the Raiders stadium? That's his place that he keeps talking about, right?
He wants to fight John Jones.
Well, he doesn't want to fight him. He wants to drag certain parts of his anatomy across his body, as he has said here on this program. The old style bender, everybody.
Yes. I think we're still waiting on that to be that matchup.
By the way, everyone check that out on our YouTube page, please. It's one of our...
Let me find it.
We've had good
times with him in studio.
Oh, my gosh. Well, things that Oral Hershiser will not say when we come back for 100. Alex, I'll take that.
With the holidays coming up, we'd like to offer you a little something special. And all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time to help support a great sponsor of this podcast. We ask that you complete a short survey because your opinion matters to us and our sponsors. It'll only take a couple minutes. And if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastopinions.com and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastopinions.com. The first 150 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. Please go to podcastopinions.com, and as always, thank you for supporting the show.